She said, she told me a couple weeks ago that the Lord had woke her up in the middle of the night and was talking to her. And I said, well, you know, I'd like to get in on that conversation. I'd like to hear what he had to say. You know, but anyway, let's just give Goldie a warm welcome as she comes and shares the word. And we're just anxious to hear what the Lord's saying to us all today through her. God bless you, Sister Goldie.
Okay. Praise God. Oh, thank you, Pastor.
Let me work on this just a teensy bit.
You might have to.
You do have small ears.
I know.
She told me, she says, I got small ears. There you go.
But I do probably need it. Oh, Father, I just thank you and I praise you for another chance, Lord, and privilege of just standing before you, Father. Lord, I thank you and I praise you that you're such a God that you can tune in to everything, everywhere. There's nothing that's out there, Lord, that you don't know about. And Father, I just thank you and I praise you that you're here and that you're going to be here because I need you right now and to be right here. And I thank you and I praise you, Lord, that you'll come forth this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to thank everybody for their prayers and everything first. And I know there's some here, not here, that also went in prayer. But God is, he's an awesome, wonderful, luscious, whatever you can think that's good. It's about him. He's a good God. And Lily is coming along. She's doing better. And I'm just believing God that, you know, I'm just believing God for whatever God wants to do. I'm comfortable. I mean, that's my sister, and I love her. And I mean, I can go to tears, and I can do all that what the flesh want to do and everything, but when it comes down to it, God is God. God is God, and but I'm believing God is just going to just raise her, like Clyde was saying, just going to raise her back up. She's been teaching over there and preaching over there, and God's going to show them who God really is, you know, and that he can do it. He's real, you know, and because sometimes they get stuff all mixed up with voodoo and God and all of that too, and it's all mixed together, but God knows what he's doing. So we're just gonna keep believing that God is gonna do how he wants it and when he wants it and bring her back. And but that still is not up to us, because if he want to take her back over there or if he want to keep her over there, he's still gonna do it, you know. So this was on the Sunday morning. He woke me up and I tried my best not to get up. I wanted to just lay there, but God wouldn't let me do it. And this was on the morning of the 10th that Lynn House was here. So about 4:50, I finally drug myself up out the bed and said, I got to get this book and start writing, because he was giving me something that I didn't even ask for. So, but God was there, and he was showing me that he's God. And actually, when I got here, Lynn House kind of hit on it. He didn't go as far as I wanted him to about the heaven thing, the heaven place in heaven, because people do have, we all have different ideas of what heaven is to us. And this is not something that's just grounded, because God can give you something else about heaven. But this is what he gave me. But I wanted to start off in 1 Corinthians, 2nd chapter. And the 6th verse. In the 4th verse, actually, it was some of the things that Lynn House was talking about the preaching and Paul was trying to get the Corinthians to know the same thing, that he can come in his own flesh and do the preaching and do all that, but that when he came at that time, it wasn't coming in his own flesh, but he was coming in the power of God. So everything that, there was no demonstrations and no entertainment. He just said what God had him to say to them, and that was what it was supposed to be about. But in chapter 6, he starts talking about wisdom and the wisdom of God. And I'm going to read it. And I'm reading out of the King James, the New King James Version. And I read it out of the Message, and I read it out of the NIV, and all of them was good. But some of them was a little bit too wordy to bring. So when you, if you have a Message, read it, because it does break it down much more. However, we speak wisdom among those who are matured, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages of our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But it is written, eyes has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. That's important. I want you to hear that. God has revealed the mysteries to us through his Spirit, which lives within us. For the Spirit searches all things. And see, God knows that. The Spirit of God searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows, the things of man, except the Spirit of the man, which is in him. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. And I'm going to stop right there. Because before I get into it, God is just letting me know that we have to get to a part in him, a point in him, to a depth in him. And even not just running into something deep. I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about what Joey was just saying. We have to have that personal relationship, and you have to want to hear from God. There's a lot of things God wants to tell us. He wants to reveal to us. He wants you to know the mysteries of him. He's not keeping it back from anybody. Anybody. He wants us to know it. He wants us to have everything that he has. That's what we're here about. He wants us to have all of that. He is the glory of glory. And he wants us to have that glory that's in him. We can't get it on our own. We don't have it to get on our own. But he does. And if we don't search for him and search him out and search the things of him, we're just wasting time. We're just wasting time. But God says he's got it all in him, and it is for anybody who wants it. Anybody who wants it. I want to go to Ephesians 2:1-6. And then we're going to get into what God really gave me. But he gave me all this after I got up. So, in Ephesians 2, from 1 to 6, he said, and you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the Spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. And when I got that, it was like God was saying, that's going back to our soulish realm. That's not just talking about, I'm not talking about sins, outward sins that we commit and stuff. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the nature. I'm talking about in our soul, the things that's going on in our souls. You know, those outward things are only a manifestation of the things that's actually going on inside of us. And when in the inside change, the outside don't have any, they don't have a, you know, they have to, it has to change. The body has to follow what's going on inside of you. And that's all the body does. The body is just a servant, a slave. That's all it is. And so we're the ones who control what's inside of us. But God is saying he wants to be the controller. He wants to be the ruler. He wants to be the king over what's going on inside the kingdom, which is in within us. And he said, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh. And again, I'm speaking not just the lusts of our flesh, I'm talking about the things that we want out of our own will. Because that's what the soul is made up of, our mental consciousness, you know, our own self-will, our own things that's inside of us, emotions and all that. That's all built inside of the soulish realm of man. That's where God is trying to get into. And when God is trying to get into that, what he's doing, when we got saved, when he chose us to get saved, or to save us, which he did that on the cross in the first place. But when he came and got on that cross, what he was saying was, I am here now, I can help you. You know, they didn't have any help before. Like they said, they had to go get the lamb and they had to do this. But you don't have to go get a lamb. You don't have to do any of that, you know, because you have it all within you. And all that's within you is trying to every day, he's knocking on the door. He's not knocking on the outside, the exterior. He's knocking on that soul realm. He's knocking on that door and say, I want to come in there and clean all of this up. I want to get in there and complete the job. I want to get in there and just say, hey, self will have to go. I want to get in there and do this, you know. He says, I want to get in there and say, all these emotions that you're going through, I want to be in control of those things, you know. And that mental status, he wants to be in there. But he says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ by grace and have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And that's where I want to go, because he has that place. But what came while he woke me up was the word atmosphere. And I kept saying, well, what about it? What about it, Lord? What about the atmosphere? And the Lord kept, I mean, it just kept coming to me about heavenly places. It's not a physical place, but it's a realm. It's a place that we can all go right here on earth. But when I looked up atmosphere in the Webster said that the air surrounding the earth, that was number one. But I'm glad I kept on reading, because I didn't understand that. But I mean, I understood it in as the cosmos part, but I didn't understand it far as what it had to do with us and what it had to do with a heavenly place. But he said, it's a pervading mood or spirit and the general tone or effect of something, which is the atmosphere. And when I got into the atmosphere, it took me into the word, because that word pervading had to take me somewhere, and that word pervading took me into the dictionary, and I found out that the word pervade means through, or go through, or to spread. Also, to be prevalent throughout something. And I said, okay, Lord, now what is it? And I mean, it just kept, It just kept going. I'm too physical for this. It just kept going. It's just like he went from that, from when you get to prevalent, then it went to prevail, to be strong, to be victorious, to triumph over or against something, to succeed. And then it just kept going on. And then after that, he took me into the word prevailing, which is the action word of, and it was like, which means superiors in strength and in influence. This is a place where, through the Spirit of Christ is in us, we go and become conquerors. And over all situations, over all circumstances. But that's a place that can be a heavenly place for us, because that's a place where we can sit with Christ. Because that's where Christ sits. He sits in a place, in a heavenly place. And it's not up in the sky. And it's not after death. He's not talking about after death. He's talking about now, right here on earth, that we can walk with him in a heavenly place. And in those heavenly places, that's where we find our conqueror. That's where we find victorious. That's where we become victorious. That's where we begin to conquer the flesh, the soul realm. God is waiting for us to be who we really are in him. He is waiting for us to declare our identity in him. So it's important that we know who we are in Christ Jesus. It's important not to us. It's important to the world, because the world is out there waiting for us. And the world is saying groaning and moaning. And you know what? They're waiting for you. Jesus Christ has already walked the earth. And he didn't do that but once. But he's still walking the earth, but he's doing it now through us. He is walking the earth through us. It's on us now to say who we are in Christ and live in it and accept it and live in it. And he said, This knowing is not something to be puffed up about, is not something to take seriously, and be fully aware of, and yet keeping humble before God. Living in a heavenly atmosphere is living above the tainted situations, above the strongholds in our lives, living in a place where the enemy can't touch you. Only by the calling of the Father has he to come to you. And that's something I really wanted to say, too, because as he was saying, a lot of churches and Pastor Oscar and Jim and all of them have, the elders have got up here, and Clyde and all of them have gotten up and told us, there's, you know, we talk about the enemy, there's places that we go, not here, but places that you visit, you go to, and you got friends who sit and they talk about the enemy this and the enemy that and the enemy this and the enemy that. And it's not about the enemy, because if you, who you are in Christ Jesus, if he couldn't touch Jesus, he can't touch you either. You know, so he can't touch you only if he gets permission from the Father. And he has to go to the Father. As a matter of fact, he doesn't have to even go to the Father, because he didn't do it in Job. He didn't go to the Father. The Father called him and told him to go to Job. So it wasn't about us having him having to go and ask permission for us. No, the Father knew just where we needed to be. So what he does, He uses Satan. He uses the enemy to just buffing us. That's all he's there for. He don't have no power to do nothing else. He has to do what Christ say like we do. He's obedient to God just like we're obedient to God. So he really doesn't have that power. But if we can think about it, sitting, being in that atmosphere, that's walking in a heavenly place like that. And I'm not saying I'm doing that either. But I'm just saying that I believe that's where God is trying to bring us, because that's the completion of God. When we get to the part where we can just walk in him, in that place in him, right here on earth. It ain't about going up, raising up to no, rising up to the heavens. It's not about the rapture of leaving your clothes here and you gone and whatever. You know, that's what they're showing in the movies. But that's Hollywood movies. But that's not what it's about. It's about right here. It's about walking in a heavenly place, walking victorious, walking, conquering things. And you know what? What we will be conquering and what we are victorious is all in Christ. It's all in Christ. Christ has the power, but he's in us. So now who else has the power? Because if he's in us, then he uses us. Then it becomes on us to carry on what God wants to do on this earth. So it is up to us to be in a place to say that we are walking in God. But it first also takes obedience. It takes obedience. You know, it takes something when God says, I'm going to say this. We need to get so close to God that we don't have to depend on Pastor Oscar to tell us. We need to be so close to God that we don't even need the saints of God to tell us. And not that he doesn't use the saints to do that. He does. Not that he doesn't use Pastor to do that, but he does. Because he know we still need it. We're not as always matured as we think we are. Because when we come to full maturity, we won't need that. When we come to full maturity in Christ Jesus, we will not need Pastor to pray for us, Pastor to do it. And I'm not saying that's not, it's not, nothing wrong with it right now because we're still in that part. But we are maturing to a place where we won't need it. And our full attention will be on the world around us. Because that's where Christ's attention was. It wasn't about him and the heavenlies. His attention was on us. His attention was on us. And so I believe that only God and by the calling of our Father that we will prevail. We will prevail. We will live out the very character of Christ in us. If we're obedient enough, we will. We will live out the very character of Christ in us. Christ has not retired. He's still walking the earth. Remember this, he's still walking the earth through you. He's living in us and through us. And we are becoming the living Beatitudes, believe it or not. We're our character, that's the character, the very character of Christ is the Beatitudes. And that's the character in which he has us to walk in. Like they're saying, it's already done, but we need to wake up and start seeing it done. We have to wake up and start seeing that it is finished in us. So that we can get out here with this world and bring the rest of the world. Bring the rest of the world. Because he said he's not leaving none out. He created. He's got his creation and he's not leaving any out. Not one. So if the church, the body of Christ, not the buildings and not the doctrines, and not all of that, but if the body of Christ, those who believe Christ is who he is, get together, Because I really do believe right now we are so separated from one another, from doctrines, by doctrines and teachings and everything. But if we can put that aside and begin to walk together as one, like Christ, and Christ will be naturally walking the earth. And you won't have to testify. You'll be like the woman with the issues. They'll be falling on their knees coming to Christ, and you won't even notice it. Because it won't be about us. It will be about the Christ that's walking through us. Boy, I'll be glad when that happens in me. I'm the first. That's what I'm saying. I'll be glad when it happens in me. Because God is saying to all of us, this is a time to start searching for him. We just sang the song. Searching for him. Because if you search for him, he'll take you in deeper. The more you search, the deeper he's going to take you. The more you search, the more relationship you're going to have with him. It's not about knowing what's inside your soul. He knows what's inside there. He already knows that. But what he wants to come in for you to know him, he wants to get in there so the soul begins to know who he is. So the soul begins to know who's got the power. So the soul begins to know that they don't have to walk according to their own self-righteousness. They don't have to walk for the things that they want and say, and that's in here. We walk after the things the way we want it, when we want it, how we want it, and when we want it. But that's not about Christ. That's about man's flesh. But Christ is saying, you know what? If you let me in there, I'll get rid of the self-will. I'll get rid of the mental consciousness. I'll get rid of the emotional states. Because he said if he can come in and clean all of that up, and you get to know him for who he really, really is, you'll disappear. You will literally disappear. Your flesh will be walking on the earth, but you know what? Christ's spirit will be so dominant in you that that's all they're going to see is Christ. That's all they're going to see is Christ. So that's what God woke me up to, let me know that the heavenly place is not way up in the sky. I'm not giving you all of it because he gave me something about death too. But it's not like we think it is. And I wish Audrey had been here, because I remember Audrey, Pastor Eddie at Wednesday night meeting. And Pete having an out of body experience, and I didn't know what was happening. So I went to Audrey, and Audrey told me I should have went out a little farther. Because I literally came home from work, laid on my bed, and I can feel every hair in my body stand up. I actually got up out the bed, turned around, and looked at myself laying in the bed. And I walked to the window. It took 3 nights for this to happen, 3 evenings. Walked to the window, and I had this awesome feeling to just float on out there. And that's what Audrey said, you should have went. And I was scared I wasn't going to make it back. And it happened with Pastor Eddie one night at the meeting, and I found myself, you know how we used to have the prayer meeting on Wednesday night, and in the little room, and we all sat in a circle? where I found myself sitting there. Audrey was sitting on this side of me, and I forgot who was sitting on the other side. Maxine, I think, was sitting on the other side of me. And I remember I was on the other side of the room hovering over Pastor Eddie, but I was looking at everybody on the other side, including myself, sitting there. And Audrey said, "Oh, girl, you should have went on and experimented a little bit more and just had the courage to step one out." But God gave me something about that, but I'm not going to share. But it's like things is not always like we think it is, because we've been told and taught so many different stuff, and it's a lot of truth going around, but it's a lot of truth mixed up with a lot of other stuff too. So we have to be careful, but it's a lot to the body than people think it is. It's a lot to us as who we are in Christ than more than what we think it is. And, you know, we're striving to get there, but we shouldn't have to strive, because he's already done it. It's already there. All we need to do is receive it. If we can just fully receive it. Man, I tell you, I can see all kinds of people coming to the Lord. I can see all kinds of people, you know, just in their homes falling on their knees. You know, you don't even have to be there. You know, it's just the Spirit of God would be so widespread that people wouldn't be able to stand it. They couldn't stay living the way they are. You know, so I just wanted to say that, and I wanted to share it. That was it, but I really didn't want to share it. I hadn't even thought about sharing it. I just said, well, that's what God gave me. I'm a one-on-one person. I'm not a person for up here, but I like one-on-one conversations. Don't I, Jim? I like to be all around just with people one-on-one, but I tell you, this is what God gave me, and I praise and I thank him for it. And I think that's why I feel the way I do about even my sister. And I mean, it's not like I've lost my mom, my dad, my brother, and I don't want to lose my sister, but I'm gonna tell you, I don't have a say so in it. And nor does she have any over me. Because if God chooses to walk in my house and just take me home, nobody can do about it. I'm gone. Then I truly am finished. I just want to thank you for letting me share that. And Pastor, I always come back to you. That's it for me.
Praise the Lord. Yeah, you all right? Okay, thanks. Praise the Lord. That was very good. And, you know, we all need to share with the things that the Lord shows us and speaks to our hearts, because, you know, even what Goldie was saying, you know, I'll say this to you. In the natural, every father wants his children to grow up. And spiritually, every minister should want to see the body of Christ grow up. Yes. And, you know, my prayer for the body of Christ, years ago, the Lord dealt with me. I used to pray and used to pray all the time and pray and say, God, let me be a manifest son of God. Let me be a manifest son of God. And he changed my prayer years ago, and he began to deal with me about, son, the high priests were the ones who went and stepped down into the brink of the water and watched everybody else go past them over into the promised land. And I'm going to tell you, every father in the natural wants to see his sons do better than he did. They want to see him achieve more than what he did. And I'm going to tell you, you know, that's one thing I loved about Brother Eddie. I believe Brother Eddie had a father's heart. And you know, hopefully I have that father's heart for you all, because I want to see you all grow up. I want to see you grow to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Yes, And I'm going to tell you, I want to see you grow past ever needing me for anything. And I believe that you'll do that. I believe that with all my heart. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be doing this, because the Lord dealt with me about, having a servant's heart to the extent, not being a servant, but having a servant's heart. There's a difference. You know, a servant is someone who only does what their master tells them to do. But we've come past the realm of being servants to the realm of being sons. And you know what? A dad likes to hear his son or his daughter come and say, "Dad, can I wash the car for you? Can I do this for you? Can I help you paint the house?" Without him having to come and say, "Son, get out there and wash the car." You know? And to be honest with you, what will end up happening with us as we grow up, we'll only want to do that which pleases the Father. And when we do that, we're on our way to really growing to full maturity. And I love the things that you said, Goldie. It was very good. And don't ever feel like that you can't get up and share in front of folks, that you're only a one-on-one, because we're all one body. We're all one spirit of the Lord. You know, you read in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, we've all been baptized into Christ. We're all one. And when you get up and speak to, if you get up and speak to 10,000, you're really only speaking to one. You're speaking to the body of Christ. Praise the Lord. If you all stand, we'll close in a word of prayer. If anybody else would like prayer, I'm don't be surprised if I grab some of you guys once in a while and get you up there. You need to get up there. You need to share. You need to share what God's given you in your heart, because we need to hear it. You might have the part that I don't have, or the part that Goldie don't have, or whatever. And we're a body ministry. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your words, for truly they are spirit and life. I thank you for allowing our sister here today to minister to us a word of life. And Father, truly help us all to grow to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we don't be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine or sleight of men or cunning craftiness, but that we speak the truth in love, that we might grow up into you in all things. For Father, that's what it's all about, us speaking the truth in love and being an expression of your love as we go forth. Father, I ask you to just bless your body here today. I thank you for each one of them. And I ask you, Father, to just meet each need that they have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you all.